స్వామిని తినామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభుత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరి, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరి, హరే కృష్ణ. సో థ్యాంక్ యూ ఆల్ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ టుడేస్ సెషన్. వి ఫర్ ద లాస్ట్ 2 వీక్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ బుక్ భక్త్యా లోక బై శిల భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్. సో టుడే ఇస్ ద 3rd week ఆఫ్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ బుక్. సో వి లాస్ట్ 2 వీక్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ సీన్ అన్ ఓవర్ వ్యూ, మోర్ ఆర్ లెస్ అన్ ఓవర్ వ్యూ ఆఫ్ నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ అండ్ ఇన్ ట్రైంగ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ రెలెవెన్స్. In that context, we have also seen, we have also tried to understand the what is the role of this book, Bhaktiya Loka, in our life. So, I'll request Radha Pramod Prabhu to do an overview of what we have seen last week. And then, subsequently, we will start with Atyahara, the first essay that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote. Yes, Prabhu, over to you, Prabhu.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So, we had another overview with some more details which Prabhuji has described. We'll just try to recollect them. So, we were having discussion how there are so many commentaries written on Upadeshamrita. First was by Sri Radharaman Goswami, the disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, his commentaries Upadesha Prakashika, and then after that Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sas Thakur, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, many of them have written commentaries, Piyusha Varshini, Anavritti, like that. Why it is like, because it is such a very important book that many of them have felt that there is a need to be elaborately described and explained to all the devotees. And then we are trying to understand what is the relevance of Bhaktiya Loka. And again, we will have the flow of Upadeshamrita in some more details which Prabhuji we have discussed last time. So like qualification to become Jagadguru. So everybody want to become Jagadguru. They want that there should be some people under me. So for that, there should be some symptoms of what is a guru. So internal symptoms we will not know. But there are something externals. If Shabde Pare Tanishnatam Pare Brahmani. So Upasamashraya. So his knowledge and all we will not be able to understand. But there are some external symptoms. Vacho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Jishpa Vegam. This we can see. So by this we can understand. So and if we want to achieve something, we need to control all these urges, which will help us to make progress in our spiritual life. And how to do it, how to tolerate. So for that, one has to follow a favorable lifestyle and one gradually learns to tolerate. And then if I want a favorable lifestyle, lifestyle means there are some do's and there are some don'ts. So there are 6 urges which we have to control, and these urges are like battle. But if one properly trained, then one is ready to face the battle. So the training is like there is a conscious choice of lifestyle and association is the key. And we should know what to expect when. So there are certain do's and don'ts which are given in NOI 1 and 2. Sorry, 2 and 3, 2nd and 3rd verses. So do's and don'ts lifestyle. So Atyahara ప్రయాస ప్రజల పుణ్యమగ్రహ జనసంగస్య లౌల్యం చషడ్బిర్ భక్తి వినశ్రుతి అను ఉత్సాహ నిశ్యా ధైర్య తత్తత్ కర్మ ప్రవర్తన సంగ త్యాగో సుతవృత్తి షడ్బిర్ భక్తి ప్రసిద్ధ్యతి. అండ్ దెన్ వి హ్యావ్ సో ఫర్దర్ వి హ్యావ్ దిస్ అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్. ఇఫ్ యు వాంట్ టు ఏబుల్ టు ప్రాక్టీస్ దిస్ లైఫ్ స్టైల్, దెన్ వి షుడ్ హ్యావ్ దట్ అసోసియేషన్. అండ్ హౌ టు హ్యావ్ దట్ అసోసియేషన్, దట్ ఈస్ 4th verse. So how do we connect with those like-minded people? So who are also interested in it? So any, even materialistic people also, if they want to have very loving exchanges, love relationship, they need to have this. Dadati pradignadi guhyamakyadi kruchati bunje bodhe bhunkte bhojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshana. And okay, I have that. So with whom should I have? So how should I know them? So to identify them. So this is what is the instruction given by Rupa Goswami. So we should, what type of, with whom, with these exchanges, we should mentally honor the Kanishta Adhikari, offer respectful obeisances to Madhyam Adhikari, and serve and associate with the Uttam Adhikari. And then how to retain that association? Because when we are there, we generally tend to commit offenses. We may become familiar and find faults in that. So then we should not go by externals. How to retain in the association of Vaishnavas? The main problem is that we must face their conditionings or their imperfections. And so how to deal with that? So ignoring the conditionings and the bodily imperfection, learn to see beyond that. See their faith and neglect the imperfection. So in that way, drishte swabhava janite vapushascha dosha. So like in Ganga, even though it is muddy, but still it is very pure. But we have a conditioning. So Prabhuji was giving example of Tulsi Priya Prabhu, Ganga Jal. So how people, even though they are not drinking, but still they want it to be pure because we see externals. Then now, okay, I am ready with it. I am practicing a proper lifestyle. I am properly associating with devotees. Then what? Then what should I expect? So now we are ready to practice bhakti and follow the favorable lifestyle in the association of devotees. But there is a stumbling block. What is that stumbling block? Now I don't have any taste for it because, okay, I am doing it. So how should I do it? So at our condition, that does not, conditioning does not allow us to experience the taste. So we don't have any ruchi. But to get ruchi, we need to have nishta. And so how we should get? By regularly practicing. And how should we practice? So regularly, with regularity, regulation and respect. So regularity means every day. And regulation means at the particular time. So today, 7 o'clock morning, we completed our chanting, and should be same thing tomorrow. Not that we start our chanting at night, 7 o'clock, like that. And with proper respect. Respect means we are consciously doing, trying to avoid the offenses. Then what happens? By doing it, we will be awarded. Ruchi is awarded when we steadily practice bhakti. So this is Shyat Krishna Nam Charitadi Sutapta Vidya. So then we have like, by doing so, the taste comes. So what should one do after one get taste? So from here onwards, there is further discussion. So reside in Vraja and utilize all one's time in chanting, hearing and remembering Lord's name, Rupa, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. So this is not possible before one get taste. So he cannot do it. So only after getting taste. So then one get absorbed oneself in following the footsteps of Vrajavasis. Then he will be able to practice Raganubhag. Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kamena Rasana Manasi Niyoja Tishtan Vrajetanu Tadanurag Janan Gami Kalam Naed Akilam Iti Upadesa Saram. So this is the essence of Upadeshamruta, staying in Vrindavan. So at this stage, we are so absorbed in Lord's devotional service that we are battle ready and we can easily tolerate the urges. What is the first shloka for us? Vachovegaman. So, and we are ready to become a Jagat Guru and make followers. But now we are no more interested because we want to become followers. We don't want to make followers. So then comes, now that we have come to the stage of Vraja, what should we look in Vraja? So what is loved by Krishna and what is loved by Vrajavasis? So these three shlokas, which are like the essence, the holy place known as Mathura is superior to Vaikunda, superior to Mathura Puri is Vrindavan, and superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill. And above all the super excellent is Sri Radhakund, so which is the supreme. And the gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees, and among the gopis, Srimati Radhani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kund is as profoundly dear to Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. So the last shloka is, of all the beloved damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by the great sages as similarly dear to him. So last three is about Radha kund. Now, how this Bhakti Loka, we should further relevance of Bhakti Loka, how important this Bhakti Loka is. because it is talking about lifestyle and value system of devotees. So what constitute a Krishna conscious lifestyle? So whatever, what are the various elements that lifestyle and how to cultivate that lifestyle? Because we will get so much distracted if we are not able to focus. So this lifestyle helps us to focus. And what is the value system that I need to cultivate and how to cultivate it? So after reading this book, so what should be the result of it is we should get inspired to have nice association of devotees. So we should be inspired to engage in the six loving exchanges with devotees and look beyond their conditioning. So that is the if we have understood this book properly, then it will end up in very nice exchanges with devotees. And then there is a comparison which Prabhuji made between Upadeshamrita and Anarthanivritti. So there are four kinds of anarthas: Asatrishna, Hriday Daurbalyam, Tattva Brahmana, Aparadha. So Asatrishna is thirst for impermanent things, their desire for material objects, desire for heavenly comfort, desire for mystic power, desire for liberation. And then there is Hriday Daurbalyam, weakness of heart. This is malnourished heart. And because of malnourished heart, there is envy, desire for fame, deceit, fullness or fault finding, and attachment to objects unrelated to Krishna. And then Tattva Brahma is misunderstanding of truth. So misunderstanding one's identity, supreme law's identity, about process of devotionaries and like that. And there are offenses to the holy name, deity, devotees and other living entities. So the solutions are when we are practicing the second instructions of envoy, so atyahara prayasa, then we will be able to give up our material desires. And this all material desires by atyahara prayasa prajal punimagraha, we'll be able to understand things properly. And by having proper association with the devotees, following the fourth verse, the weakness of heart, the malnourished heart, will be nourished and we'll be able to overcome these anarthas, obstacles basically. And then envoy one, following first one, we'll be able to overcome the offenses which commit to holy name, deities and devotees, other living entities. And surrender and chastity to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we'll be able to overcome Tattva Brahma. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru. Thank you very much. It was a very comprehensive overview. So I don't need to do any overview today, as always. So let's then start today's discussion. As I promised, I told that I will, you know, we have already seen the history of Upadeshamrita. Then we saw an overview of understanding the relevance of Bhakti Aloka by seeing an overview of nectar of instruction. We saw this as Prabhuji very nicely did the recap. So now we come to the first essay, which is Atyahara. You know, of the six unfavorable things, the first thing is Atyahara, which is either overeating or over collecting, too much collecting. So before we start this discussion, I will pause for a few seconds to see if, based on what we have discussed last week, if there are any quick discussion points, questions, comments, anyone would like to share, add, you can please raise your hands and you can share. If you are not very comfortable speaking, you can always type your questions in the chat box. But I will pause for a few seconds to see if there is any quick discussion points, questions, based on what we discussed last week. Anything anyone would like to share, add? Yes, Arjun Priya Prabhu, I see your hand. Yes, bro.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, bro.
The sloka, Drishte Swabhava Janate, that Swabhava is conditioning, then Uttam Adhikari, is it some kind of Swabhava, means it is not these three modes, conditioning?
Yeah. Uttam Adhikari may not have that kind of conditioning. But a Kanishta and Madhyam Adhikari may still have some conditionings. So which, seeing which one may start, judging that person. or it could even be some physical deformity or, you know, some present traces of past sin. Like I gave the example of, you know, stained teeth due to chewing tobacco before coming to Krishna consciousness. So we may see those things and we may start judging that person like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anything else anyone would like to share? Add? Yes, Arpita Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Please accept Krishna. My humble obeisances. Prabhuji, I just wanted to ask that it is actually mentioned that we have 6 loving exchanges with devotees, with Kanishta Madhyam and Uttam Adhikari in different ways. But then the next shloka also says that when it talks about Uttam Adhikari, it says that one should associate and serve and as such a person. But we are also associating and serving the other two kinds, no? This Kanishtha and Madhyam Adhikaris. So why specifically that Sangha word, this word, one should take Sangha and one should associate and render service is coming specially for Uttam Adhikari, for such a person who is at that level, who is free of all propensity to criticize others?
Well, if such an association is available, then one should really hanker for it. One cannot afford to miss it. But in the case such an association is not available, one should hanker to have the association and serve the Madhyam Adhikaris also. So that is the understanding.
Other Prabhuji, like when we are giving prasad, when we are all, we can do this to so many people, then does not have to be very close connection. We can distribute prasad, we can distribute gifts also, we can accept gifts also. That intimacy level is not always so much, means these exchanges can be had in different levels of intimacy. So when we talk about this Uttam Adhikari, is it about that intimacy? What increases in the case of Uttam Adhikari? Our means, Prabhuji, I'm sorry, I'm not able to explain the question.
Why is it that for Uttam Adhikari, it is so much emphasized that we should hanker to take their association? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, Prabhuji. Means that level of intimacy. Anyways, 6 exchanges we are having with others also, no? Apart from sharing one's heart, I think all the other exchanges are possible with others also.
Yeah, it is possible. But in the Vaishnava circle, our dealings of which are based on respect. Of course, we respect everyone. But when we deal with the Uttam Adhikari, the feelings of respect and reverence and appreciation would be much more. It has to be also like that. So that will create that additional impact. It's not in the sense of what you share or what you give as gift. It's not like, you know, you have budgeted a higher amount for the Uttam Adhikari. Madhyam Adhikari 1,000, Uttam Adhikari 1 lakh, and Kanishta Adhikari 100 rupees. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. So it's with what respect you, right? Sakale samman korite shakati dehonata jata jata. So how much you feel that respect, how much you feel that dependence in that relationship. So when that right mood is there, then that gift has more value, that prasadam has more value, and the exchanges of guhyam akyati pruchati, revealing one's heart and confidence, that has much more value and it has a much more deeper impact actually.
Hmm. So Prabhuji, does the fifth shloka say this, that if we have Uttam Adhikari association, then we need not associate closely with Kanishta Adhikaris and Madhyam Adhikaris? We can just offer our respects and need not closely associate if we have the association of an Uttam Adhikari?
Well, we cannot take that verse in separation, at least, you know, we cannot take it just like that, because you know, the symptoms of a madhyamadhika is ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu dvishastucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakkaroti samadhyama. So one should have a friendly disposition towards everyone, and especially elsewhere in Bhagavatam it is mentioned that with equals one should have a very friendly relationship also. And it's not that, and it's not that, and you are entitled to have that association of that Uttamadhikari all the time. Uttamadhikari is no one person's private property. Uttamadhikari is everyone's property. So we may not necessarily get that association also, and just because he is an Uttamadhikari, he is not obliged to spend all his or her time with you. And we should not be expecting it also. So in the name of associating with, you know, only Uttam Adhikari, we may end up having no association most of the time, because everyone wants the association of Uttam Adhikari. So therefore we should definitely have equals association also, because of course there are Uttam Adhikaris, but they are no one's private property. That we should understand.
Yes. And Prabhuji, in the four kind of offenses, one offense was offense toward other living entities. So I wanted to understand that, Prabhuji.
Offense towards other living entities means causing unnecessary violence to them. Either verbal or physical or emotional. So all these things are, violence to other living entities. Like you may be walking and you may just take a stone and pelt at a dog, you know, for no reason. It's not that it's snaring at you and, you know, trying to bite you or anything. So we may just like that out of habit take a stone and pelt, or, you know, disturb. Some birds are sitting in the tree, you just disturb them, all, you know, and then all the birds fly away. And we may get some thrill or some joy. So
when we criticize joy, even those who are other not devotees still, the other living entities, when we criticize them or when we hurt them, we are offending them actually. We are, that is an aparad only.
Yes.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Vrajarade Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji Dandavat. Prabhuji, my question is like, here in Letter of Instruction, it is insisted that one should, after certain stage of purification, one should go and stay in Vrindavan. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of formation, he advises six Goswamis to go and stay in Vrindavan and to fulfill his purpose. But to Jagdanand Pandit, he says not to stay in Vrindavan, come back as soon as the work is.
Yeah, I mean, yes, without service, we should not stay in Vrindavan. So therefore, we should plan to go to Vrindavan for serving. That does not mean you don't go to Vrindavan only. But Jagadanand Pandit did stay in Puri for the whole of his life. So Puri is also a holy place. So the point is that Tishtan Vrajeta Danuraga Jananugami. That is a specific instruction for everyone. Tishtan Vraja, one should stay in Vrindavan. So one should not just like that go and stay in Vrindavan, but one should plan for it. One should dream about going and staying in Vrindavan. One should dream about Vrindavan, about the glories of Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri, all these places. Either one or more of these places, one should dream one should plan and one should keep visiting every once in a while and eventually move in there with the right attitude actually. So without the proper attitude and without proper service, of course, one should not go and stay in Vrindavan. So which means that does not mean that you never go and stay in Vrindavan, because so many devotees do go and stay in Vrindavan like that.
That is just because this offenses can be there after staying in Vrindavan. That's the reason usually everyone not to go in Vrindavan.
Yeah, we may become, because exalted devotees stay there, because of staying there without the right consciousness, we may become offensive towards them. We may take them for granted. We may start judging them. So we may see the see Vrindavan from a very external point of view and may end up committing some dhamma parad also, like that, for that reason. But that does not mean that we don't go there. We go there, we try to go there with the right consciousness. That's the understanding.
Okay,
sir.
Thanks.
Hare Krishna. Ruchi Matan.
Dandvat Prabhuji, hope you are recovering from corona.
Yes.
Prabhuji, my question is, last lecture I heard, because I was not able to attend. So I heard the last lecture, Prabhuji. There it was said that if we love Krishna, we should value things which Krishna values and the Brijvasis, the Dhamvasis value. So like you were discussing about the glories of Radha Kunda. So I want to ask, the Dhamvasis here, are we specifically about the current Brijvasis, or are we talking about the Mathura Vasis who were at that time in Gokul when Krishna was there? Who are the Dham Vasis we are mentioning who value Radha Kunda?
So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Dham Vasi or a Vrajavasi means one who stays in the Dham for the purpose of serving Krishna through the practice of pure devotional service.
So
Dhamvasi is one who stays in Krishna either mentally or physically. In the mood of serving Krishna through practice of pure devotional service. That is the definition of a Dhamvasi. So now, whether all you can see is someone is staying in Vrindavan, but whether he is staying in Vrindavan for the purpose of pleasing Krishna through practice of pure devotional service, we do not know generally. So better we respect everyone. That is the
Thank you, Prabhuji. And like amongst the five limbs which we complete every day, like Bhagavat Patham and chanting and Bhakt Sangha and it's like Archanam and also Dhamvas. So every day practically when we say Dhamvas, so how do we complete this Anga of Bhakti? Means we mentally are always residing in the Dham?
Mentally you try to appreciate the Dham, plan to go and stay in the Dham.
Like that we can appreciate the Dham. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's Gauranga Purushottam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Dhanavad Prabhuji.
Dhanavad
Prabhuji. My question is, then in every general lecture we have heard you have to serve the pure devotee and associate with pure devotee. So does this Madhyam Adhikari also comes under pure devotee, or Uttam Adhikari comes under pure devotees?
So pure devotee means one who has pure faith. It means Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari, all three fall within that category.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So there are some questions in the chat box here. I will take. What is standard of Atyahar as appetite is, is person specific. We will discuss this when we start Atyahar. We have not yet started Atyahar. It also depends on other things such as body, mind, situation, etc. Yeah, I agree. So we will discuss this when we actually start Atyahar. How these four anarthas that we talked today is compared against anartha we studied in Manasiksha, verse 4 to 6. It's a different type of categorization. You know, what we discussed as it's a different type of categorization. This is a different type of categorization. So yeah, okay, because most of the devotees have not attended Manasiksha here, so I don't want to confuse them by making a comparison here. Maybe I'll try to make that comparison when we discuss Manasiksha. But just that it's a different type of categorization, and this is a slightly different type of categorization. I will do that when we do Manasiksha. Okay, thank you. Okay, so if there are no further discussion points or questions, we'll continue. We will start with the first essay. As I mentioned before, this is not a book which was compiled by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is actually a series of essays, 12 essays on the 6 favorable and the 6 unfavorable items for devotional service, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in his Sajjana Toshani magazine. And subsequently, the Gaudiya Math devotees compiled this in the form of a book and titled it as Bhakti Aloka, which is illuminations on the path of bhakti. So we are going to start with the first of the unfavorable item, which is Atyahara, which is overeating or too much collecting. So let's try to cover a few slides and then I will pause for some discussion points. So okay. So till then you can just wait. You can, if you have a question, you can type it in the chat box. And when I pause for questions, then you can either raise your hands or you can, I will take your question, which is there in the chat box. Okay. So in his Sri Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has written the following verse: Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Janasangascha Laulyamcha Shedbir Bhaktir Vinashyati. Once devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following 6 activities. Atyahara, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. This is Atyahara. Prayasa means over endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. The problem with prayasa is that when you anything that we over endeavor to attain, we will enjoy it for ourselves. That is the problem. So therefore, it's a, you know, we should not be over endeavoring for material things. Because when we want to, when we over endeavor and get it, then we want to enjoy it to the fullest extent. And it is unfavorable for our Krishna consciousness. Third is prajalpa. Prajalpa means talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. So these 6 things, as we saw, they increase our asat trishna. Asat trishna means thirst for the enjoying the non-permanent things of this world. So the more we, if we end up overeating, we want to over-enjoy using our tongue and belly. If we over-endeavor for attaining material things, we want to over-enjoy those things. The thirst for enjoyment increases. Similarly, prajalpa, when we, the more we talk about mundane things, the more we hear about mundane things, the more we want to enjoy those mundane things. So these 6 activities are the ways by which our thirst for enjoying material things increases. Okay. And niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them. This is one type of niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means being too much attached to the rules and regulations, but not understanding what is the purpose of all these things. There is another type of niyamagraha, which is niyamagraha. Agraha means rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. So we may think that, oh, I am very advanced, I am very progress, you know. These are just rules. Ultimately, one has to be a Saragrahi Vaishnava. One must be an essence-seeking Vaishnava. The essence of all the things is not the rules. The essence is actually the essence, right? So rules are not important. Yes, rules are not ultimately the most important thing, but rules do have a very important utility. So one, if one thinks that I am so advanced that I don't have to follow the rules, then that is one kind of niyamagraha. Another kind of niyamagraha means to be so much attached to the rules that you don't understand what is the purpose of these rules, right? So like that. Then the fifth activity which can enhance our desire to enjoy material things of this world is janasangha. Janasangha means associating with worldly minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So this also, the more we associate with such worldly minded persons, the more our desire to enjoy matter increases. Okay. And then finally, the sixth item is lavulyam. Lavulyam means being greedy for mundane achievements. Of course, there is further understanding of lavulyam. We will discuss this little later. But for now, this is the just basic meaning of this verse. But of course, this verse is going to be discussed in six long essays. We are going to understand the deeper meaning of all these things. Okay. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, it is most important to consider the deep meaning of this verse. For anyone who wants to engage in pure devotional service, it is especially necessary to follow the instructions of this verse. Otherwise, you know, if we don't follow these things, it is very difficult to follow pure devotional service because the lifestyle will be very much counterproductive. You know, it will become an obstacle to our progressing or practicing pure devotional service. So he says, for one who neglects to follow these instructions, attaining devotion to Lord Hari is extremely rare. So if one neglects to follow, or one thinks that, you know, these are not that important, it is very difficult to attain devotion to Lord Hari or progress on the path of devotion. He says, we are hereby elaborating the meaning of this verse for the benefit of those who have a strong desire to attain pure devotional service. If you have a strong desire to attain pure devotional service, then this book is very relevant. Then you have to understand the deeper meaning of these two verses. We have to understand, what does it mean? What is this satyahara? What is this prayasa? What is prajalpa? What is niyamagraha, janasangha, laulyam? So we have to understand the deeper meaning of these things so that we know how we can avoid them. Okay. In this verse, six impediments to devotional service are mentioned. Atyahara, prayasa, prajalpa, niyamagraha, janasangha, and laulya. We will separately discuss each of these six items. In this chapter, only the meaning of the word atyahara is being discussed. So one full chapter for one word. Many people may think that the word atyahara refers only to overeating. This is not so. Atyahara does not just refer to overeating. This is not so. It is explained in the first verse of Upadeshamrita. Vacho vegam, manasaha krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udara upastha vegam, etan viganyo vishaheta dhiraha, sarvan apimam prithivim chasishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. This is what the first verse of Upadeshamrita says. In this regard, the urge of the tongue is the desire to taste foodstuffs, and the urge of the stomach is the desire to overeat. Okay, the urge of the tongue is what? I want to eat very tasty foodstuffs. And the urge of the belly is, I want to, is the desire to overeat. If we understand the word atyahara in the second verse as overeating, then the fault of repetition occurs in this condensed collection of essential instructions. There are only 11 verses. Okay. When there are just 11 verses, you can't afford to write anything. Not even a single word can be redundant and repetitive. So redundance and repetition is a sign of poor presentation, poor writing, poor presentation. So why would Srila Rupa Goswami be unnecessarily repetitive unless it is so important? Actually, there is repetition. In these six unfavorable things, there is Janasanga, and in the six favorable things, there is Sangatyaga. Giving up unfavorable association is repeated twice. So he says, one of the things to give up is unfavorable association, and one of the do's is to give up unfavorable association. So it's a repetition. But it is mentioned that this repetition is absolutely important, because this is the most important thing for a devotee to do. Avaishnava tyaga ei vaishnava achar. So it is a Vaishnava is really identified by this very important term of how carefully he is avoiding the association of non-devotees. Therefore, it is repeated twice. But Rupa Goswami very much knows that he is repeating, but he repeats it for a very critical purpose. But here, when Udaravegam indicates the urge of the stomach to overeat, then Atyahara cannot just mean overeating. It should have a deeper meaning. What is the deeper meaning? So he says, therefore, it is the duty of the learned readers to find other meanings for the word Atyahara as used by the most grave Rupa Goswami. So he says, it is the duty of the learned readers to find other meanings. Now I am asking you, who is Srila Rupa Goswami or Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur is giving this responsibility to whom? It is whose responsibility to find other meanings? What is your understanding? You can please share. Either you can type it in the chat box or you can raise your hands and speak. It is whose duty to understand other meanings? Who is... So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is putting this responsibility on whom? Whose responsibility is this? Okay. Sachi Pran Prabhu says, Acharya. Arpita Mataji says, Acharyas. Prajalade Mataji says, Sadhakas. Radha Damodar Prabhu says, Gurus and Sadhus. Someone says, all of us who are reading the scriptures. Okay. Every sincere seeker, someone says, who is very serious to progress in Krishna consciousness. Okay, one may be serious to progress in Krishna consciousness, but does it mean he has the capacity to understand the deeper meaning of this verse? All of us, sadhakas, those who are serious to progress, who want to perfect their sadhana, one who is looking to pursue seriously on the path of bhakti platform, guru, sincere sadhaka, sincere devotee aspiring for pure devotion, those who are training the devotees. Okay, so, the application each one of us can try to understand, but the actual meaning, what does Surupa Goswami mean when he writes Satyahara, we don't have qualification. For that, one should have one should be an acharya of what he could mean, because this is not a speculative exercise. This is not a speculative exercise. Rather, this is something that is revealed. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. So, Rupa Goswami had the capacity to understand the deep desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, these are not things which ordinary people can do. So, it is the duty of the learned readers means, at least an Uttamadhikari. He can find out other meanings and he can write commentaries. Otherwise, if it is the duty of every sadhaka to find out deeper meanings, then all of us can write a commentary on Nectar of Instruction. But what would be the value of those commentaries? Right. So he says, although bhojana or eating is the principal meaning of the word ahara, the word bhojan also means to enjoy the objects of the five senses. So atyahara means not just overeating, but overindulgence, using any of our senses. That is the meaning of atyahara. So he says, palm by the eyes, sound by the ears, smell by the nose, taste by the tongue, feeling of heat and cold, soft and hard by the touch. In this way, the five senses enjoy. This type of material enjoyment is compulsory for an embodied soul. Any embodied soul will have to utilize his senses for accepting these sense objects. Without enjoying these sense objects, a living entity cannot suffer. Here, of course, enjoying means not literally in the mood of enjoyment, in the mood of survival. Right? You cannot go to Siberia and not have any warm clothes and hope to survive. Right? And at the same time, all the senses have to function reasonably properly for us to actually survive. So for the purpose of survival, so enjoying is not, he is not indicating in the mood of enjoyment, but in the mood of survival, we have to engage the senses. They should get their sense objects. As soon as the living entity gives up sense enjoyment, he leaves his body. So he is not talking about sense enjoyment in the sense, he is not talking about sense gratification. When we eat food, we don't call it a sense gratification. So, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not using the word in the sense that we commonly use, sense gratification or sense enjoyment. It means, to keep the body and soul together, whatever is needed, we have to provide. And to keep the body and soul together and the mind sane so that one can practice devotional service. For that, whatever is needed, we have to provide. Okay. Therefore, giving up sense enjoyment is only a figment of the imagination. It can never be applied in practice. Giving up sense enjoyment means to completely stop providing the senses with any fulfillment. Hungry, starve. If you are feeling hungry, starve. Like that, you stop the supply of food to all the senses. You know, he says this is impossible. It is not possible only. It is not possible. You know, this might be a jnani's or a yogi's aspiration, but even they cannot practice. They need to take something for survival. Lord Shri Krishna instructs Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. What did he say? Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tish akarma krit karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Okay. So he says, nahi kaschit, no one, not a single person, jatu tishtati akarma krit. Not even one person can stay without doing any action. Kshanamapi, even for a moment, no one can stay without performing any activity. Why? He says, sarvaha avashaha karma karyate. Everyone will helplessly start performing activity. Why? Prakriti jair gunaihi. So one will be forced to engage in action because of the gunas arising from prakriti. We have some sattvaguni vasanas, rajoguni vasanas, tamoguni vasanas, some mode of goodness impressions, some mode of passion impressions, some mode of ignorance impressions, which push us to act in particular way. So basically, Arjuna is telling, what is the big problem? I will not act. I will not go to the battlefield and fight. I will go to the forest and beg. What is the problem with that? I will not perform any action. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, oh Arjuna, do you think you can stay there? You can stay like that in the forest without performing any action? He says, what about all these material impressions that you have accumulated since time immemorial? What about all those rajoguni impressions, sattoguni impressions that you have accumulated, which will eventually force you to fight? So don't you understand this? That just by deciding that I will not fight, you cannot refrain from fighting because you are filled with those impressions which will anyway push you to fight. Okay. So therefore, no conditioned soul can remain without acting even for a moment because prakriti jair gunaihi, the material impressions that one has accumulated will push one to act helplessly anyway. Right? Rather, if you think that if you can refrain only externally, whenever the urge comes, you will stop. Whenever the urge comes, you will stop. You may stop, but for how long? But your mind will still be thinking about it. And Krishna says, if you may refrain your senses from indulging in the sense object, but if your mind is still thinking about enjoyment, then you are cheating yourself. Karmendriyani sanyamya ya aste manasasmaran indriyartan vimudatma mityacharasa uchyate. Karmendriyani sanyamya, he may control the action of senses. The senses may not come in touch with the sense objects. But yaha aste indriyartan smaran, but he who remains while meditating on the sense objects, manasa, within his mind, vimutma, he is definitely bewildered, saha mityacharaha uchyate, such a person is called a pretender. Pretender means what? He is pretending as if, not that he is an outright cheater, he is cheating himself. He is thinking that sannyas means to not engage the senses with the sense objects. But Krishna is trying to tell him, no, that is not sannyas. A sannyasi does not engage his senses in sense objects because a sannyasi's mind does not think about sense objects only. he does not have any impetus to engage the senses with the sense objects. That is why he is a sannyasi. Okay. It is not that a sannyasi, by not engaging the senses with the sense objects, you cannot become a sannyasi. The qualification for a sannyasi is sarva sankalpa sannyasi. There is no desire to enjoy only. So if you have desire, but if you are forcibly suppressing your senses from engaging with the sense objects, then that is not a sannyasi. You are not qualified for sannyasi. You rather have to engage them in a dharmic way according to your varna and ashrama, and in that way purify your desires. That's what Krishna is telling here. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is indicating here that no one in this material world can hope, no conditioned soul in this material world can hope to not engage his senses in the sense objects, because his mind will be filled with material impressions, which will anyway push him to helplessly act in one way or another. So therefore, everyone has to engage the senses in a particular way. You have to eat. For eating, you have to engage your eyes, you have to engage your ears, you have to engage your tongue, you have to engage your belly. So all the senses need to be engaged. You cannot not engage your senses. So absolutely stopping ahara is not a possibility at all. Since maintaining one's life is not possible without action, one must work to maintain his life. That is not disallowed. One should act to maintain his life. But if such activities are done in the mood of enjoyment, then one's qualification as human is lost and he becomes like an animal. Ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha tamanyametat pashubir naranam dharmohi tesham adiko vishesho dharmena hina pashubir samana. Okay, so ahara nidra bhaya and maitunam is available for all living entities. Samanyametat pashubir naranam, it is available for pashu and nara, for animals and human beings. Dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesho. But dharma is that exclusive thing which is the exclusive characteristic of human beings. Dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesho dharmena hina pashubir samana. So if one is not dharmically engaging those senses in the objects of sense gratification, then he is as good as an animal. Okay, so engagement of senses in objects of senses is absolutely everyone has to do, but one cannot just accept and reject sense objects with the principle of ragasya sankalpo dveshasya varjanam. That is what animals do. Whatever I like, I will accept. Whatever I don't like, I will reject. Like here, Arjuna is telling, oh, I don't like to fight. I don't like to fight with Bhishma, Drona and all these people. So I reject. I like to beg, I will beg. So he says, this, the animals also do this. They accept and reject based on likes and dislikes. But a human being is not expected to accept and reject things purely based on the consideration of likes and dislikes. Okay. What gives me enjoyment, I will accept. That is an animal, right? So therefore, if one can transform all his bodily activities into activities favorable to the devotional service of the Lord, then that is bhakti yoga. So what is bhakti yoga? What is the difference between material life and devotional life. Okay. Material life also includes sensory engagement. Okay. Devotional life also includes sensory engagement. Okay. But in material life, sensory engagement is governed by the principle of raga and dvesha. Whatever likes and dislikes, whatever I like, I accept. Whatever I dislike, I reject. But in devotional life, the acceptance and rejection of the sense objects is based on what is anukul for bhakti and what is pratikul for bhakti. Okay. For example, Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. So everyone has to eat. Yeah. Everyone has to eat. So when you want to eat, what does the scripture say for a devotee? What he can eat? He can eat only prasadam, that which is offered to Krishna. And what does Krishna say about what he likes to accept? He likes to accept patram pushpam phalam toyam, any vegetarian item which is offered with devotion. That Krishna likes to accept. So in this way, for accepting any sensory engagement with the sense objects, a devotee thinks in terms, is it anukul for my bhakti or is it pratikul for my bhakti? Is it anukul for my bhakti or is it pratikul for my bhakti? With this consideration, one has to accept. So sensory engagement is there. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. In order to serve Krishna, there is sensory engagement is needed. You cannot not engage your senses and hope to perform bhakti. Again, but sensory engagement is needed, but the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikantam anashnatah nachati swapna shilasya jagrato naiva charjuna. So he says, na ati ashnatastu yogo asti. Yoga, even though this verse is spoken in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which talks about Ashtanga Yoga, but this principle is generic. This principle is applicable to all the yogas. Na ati ashnatastu yogosti. It is not possible for someone to practice yoga if he eats too much. Nacha ekantam anataha. And it is not possible for one who stops eating, who does not eat also, such a person cannot practice bhakti or any yoga for that matter. Okay. Nacha ati swapna shilasya. One who sleeps too much, he also cannot practice bhakti. Jagratonaiva charjuna, or one who does not sleep much, even he cannot practice any yoga, including bhakti yoga. Okay. So too much eating, too less eating. Too much sleeping, too less sleeping. One cannot practice bhakti. Then in the next verse he says, yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. So he says, yukta ahara. If one has regulated eating, Srila Prabhupada says, what is regulated eating? He says, half stomach food. Prabhupada says, if you can eat 1 pound of food, eat only half a pound, then take a quarter pound of water and keep 1/4 of the space free for the air to circulate. In that way, it will aid digestion. This is what Prabhupada says. Yukta ahara. And then he says, yukta vihara. Vihara means recreation. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, vihar, recreation for a Vaishnava is walking. He says, walking is actually recreation for a Vaishnava. So one should have regulated eating, regulated walking or recreation. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Regulated use of organs in both material and spiritual activities. Okay. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. You know, whatever is needed, you know, whether it is sleeping or whether it is, you know, you have to work, all those things. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta swapna avabodhasya. Yukta swapna avabodhasya. Regulated sleep and regulated waking up. So, yogo bhavati dukkaha. For such a person, when he practices yoga, that practice of yoga actually destroys his suffering. But when there is no regulation in eating, recreation, engagement of his organs in various activities, sleeping and waking up. If in a very unregulated way, if one's lifestyle is very unregulated, whatever yoga he practices, it will not destroy his suffering. You know, many devotees, actually it is seen that they develop many, many chronic illness. Even though they are practicing, they are not eating meat, they are eating only vegetarian food. But somehow the food does not get digested. Many devotees have digestion issues. They have many other types of chronic illness. Why? Because of unregulated sleeping, unregulated eating, because of a lifestyle which does not very much suit devotional service or any yoga for that matter. So therefore, there should be regulation. So when we say, he does not say nirahar. Rupa Goswami is not telling nirahar. He says atyahar. Atyahar means too much, overeating. So that's what he is talking about. Yuktahar viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta swapnava bodhasya yoga bhavati dukkaha. For yoga to become disease, suffering free, one has to have a regulated lifestyle, and that regulation is indicated by avoiding atyahar, means too much indulgence, right? And further, in the fifth verse, it is mentioned, naiva kinchit karomi iti yukto manyeta tatvavit pashyan shrinvan sprishan jahran ashnan gachan swapan swashan pralapan visrjan ghrnan unmishan nimishan api Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartanta Iti Dharayam. So this is in the fifth chapter where Krishna says, Yuktaha, the person engaged in karma yoga, tattvavit, having knowledge. Okay. Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartanta Iti Dharayam. Dharayam means understanding. Understanding that in all my activities, it is my senses which are coming in touch with my sense objects. Okay. While he is Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprishan, Jihran, Ashnan, right? So these are the actions of the Gyanendriyas. You know, Pashyan to see with the eyes, Shrinvan to hear with the ears, Sprishan to experience touch using the skin, Jihran to smell using the nose, Ashnan to experience, to eat using the tongue, to taste using the tongue. Gachan, swapan, swashan, pralapan, visirjan, grinnan. Or while engaging in actions of the karmendriyas like you know, hands, legs, genitals, etc. Right? So the person a knowledgeable person who is a karma yogi or a bhakti yogi, understanding that the senses alone are in touch with the senses while engaging their karmendriyas or gyanendriyas in many, in any action. Okay. Naiva kinchit karomi iti manyeta. He understands that I am not doing anything at all. So I am not doing anything at all, but still, there must be regulated engagement of the senses in the sense objects to keep the body and soul together. But I am not the doer. So with the right understanding, one has to, for the right purpose, with the right understanding, even though this fifth chapter is talking about a karma yogi, the sixth chapter verses he quoted, he talks about an ashtanga yogi. But still, these principles have utility in a bhakti yogi's life also when performed with the right understanding. Right? Tattvavit. The verse says tattvavit, having knowledge. So he has the knowledge that it is only the indriyas which are coming in touch with the indriyartha. It is only the senses which are coming in touch with the sense objects, and I am not the doer. That understanding is there. But a bhakti yogi understands that to maintain my body and soul together, I need to engage my senses in the sense objects, but it should be done. I should not overindulge in it because Krishna does not like it. I should engage it to the extent that it is favorable for my Krishna consciousness. That is the tattvavit. That is a devotee tattvavit. He understands, he has the proper knowledge. Right? Although these instructions are effective for jnanis, still their purport is favorable for devotional service. Okay. Their purport is favorable for devotional service. What is their purport? He says, the concluding verse of Bhagavad Gita explains about Sharanagati or full surrender. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam. Keeping this in mind, one should renounce fruitive activities and philosophical speculation and accept sense objects as the Lord's mercy. So with this understanding, a devotee should accept sense objects as Lord's mercy. Because ultimately, our life is meant to be surrendered to Krishna. And one of the principles of surrender is anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. One should accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Like that. So, this is known as pure devotional service. So, this is known as pure devotional service. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha nirbanda Krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam chate. Okay. So, how should we engage our senses? That's what this verse says. How should and how much should a devotee engage his senses in sense objects? Okay. This is the point. So, what defines atyahar? What defines atyahar? Okay. So, the first principle he says is anasaktasya vishayan. Vishayan anasakta, which means he must have detachment from sense objects. Or the object that he is willing to use in Krishna's service, he must be detached from that. Okay. So, then the second is yatarham upayunjataha. Yatarham upayunjataha means only suitable objects should be utilized. Okay. Only suitable objects should be utilized. Even though every object has utility in Krishna's service, but I may not be fit to use every object in Krishna's service, right? I can utilize a few objects which I don't have a weakness for. If I have a weakness and I will utilize it for my own sense gratification, then that object is not fit for me to be utilized in Krishna consciousness. That object should not be used by me in Krishna consciousness. If, you know, I cannot use, you know, if I'm a drug addict or if I have a potential for getting addicted to drugs, then I cannot use drugs in the service of Krishna. Right? Like that. Or if I was a meat eater and I really liked eating meat or whatever, you know, so then I cannot utilize it. So, and the third aspect of Yukta Vairagya is Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, persistent utility only in Krishna's service. This is Yuktam Vairagyam Ukchate. This is, you know, this is Yuktam Vairagyam. Yuktam Vairagyam means a kind of detachment that is suitable for bhakti. Okay. So that Vairagya is suitable when, rather than not wanting to use any sense object, you are utilizing it in Krishna's service. Okay. So in devotional service, there are four levels of sensory engagement. Four levels of sensory engagement in Krishna consciousness. What are those four levels of sensory engagement? The lowest is the stage of succumbing. Okay. The stage of succumbing and getting up. This is one of the stages. Okay. This is called as the stage of Vishaya Sangara. I will explain what these stages are. Okay. Then a second stage is the stage of doubtailing. Okay. Then the third stage, higher stage, is the stage of Yukta Vairagya. Then the fourth stage, the highest stage, is the stage of spontaneous devotional service. Okay. So what are these four stages? Ultimately, bhakti means Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Engaging the senses in the service of Krishna. This is actually bhakti. But in trying to engage the senses in the sense objects, in the very early stage of Krishna consciousness, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, so he actually sees a devotee comes with lot of material attachments. He comes with lot of material attachments and he wants to utilize them in Krishna's. Even though he want to utilize many things in Krishna's service, he may want to serve Krishna, but his material attachments will pull him to enjoy those very objects which he is trying to engage in Krishna's service. Like, we may want to engage or cook for Krishna, offer bhoga to Krishna, but eventually we may end up enjoying it ourselves. Okay. We may want to use certain gadgets in the service of Krishna, but we may end up using those gadgets for our own gratification. Okay. So in this way, but even though we may feel repentant and we may try to get up and try to you know, get better. But still, there will be a stage in the initial stages of Krishna consciousness where, you know, we do succumb to enjoying those very objects we are trying to utilize in Krishna's service. This is the first stage, lowest stage. This is okay as long as the person is repentant and he is willing to rectify himself, it is still okay. Okay. Then, as a little higher stage is the stage of dovetailing. Dovetailing stage is where I have particular attachment to enjoy certain things. I have particular attachment to particular activities. So I can utilize it in Krishna's service. Like I like to drive cars. So I will drive the devotees whenever the devotees want to go to temple, they want to go to railway station or airport or market for buying some things, I will take them in my car. So this is, in one sense, you have attachment to particular services or particular things, or you really like to meddle with the computer. So what you do whenever a devotee has some computer related services, you volunteer to do it. So there is particular attachment. We are dovetailing that attachment in Krishna's service. So this is still higher level. But still higher level is Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means what? First thing is, you should not have attachment to that particular object or service. So, but because Krishna needs it, because it is fit for Krishna's service, because Guru says, you engage in that particular activity for Krishna's pleasure. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. And persistently, whenever you utilize that object, it is used only in Krishna's service. So this is Yukta Vairagya. The highest stage of engagement is the stage of spontaneous devotional service, where the only reason you engage in that particular activity is because of your spontaneous love for Krishna. You know, that spontaneous love for Krishna drives your senses to engage in particular activities. Ramananda Rai was training. I will take the example of Ramananda Rai training the Devadasis. So he was the male, the Devadasis were female, they were young ladies. He used to massage them, train them in dancing and all that. So there is no Yukta Vairagya here. This is spontaneous devotional service, because Ramananda Rai was completely immersed in Krishna Prema. So he was thinking, when he was looking at the Devadasis, he was just thinking how they would give pleasure to Krishna. So this is spontaneous devotional service. But an ordinary sadhaka does not have that spontaneous love. And it may not even be Yukta Vairagya, because we may have attraction for the opposite sex. So we cannot utilize. So such objects are not even meant for Yukta Vairagya for us. You know, we may not have attachment for particular objects which we can easily utilize in Krishna's service. But there may be some objects which we are attached, but still we can persistently use them in Krishna's service. So that will come within the category of dovetailing. Okay. That will come within the category of dovetailing. Okay. I am attached to computers. Okay. Prabhu, I really like to do computer related services. Is there any computer related services? My hands are itching. Please give me. So, but I may have an attachment, but I persistently be able to utilize it in Krishna's service. Okay. So that is dovetailing. There are certain things which we have no, we may not have too much attachment to, and we may be able to always utilize it in Krishna's service. Like you can say a chamara or a conch shell, or a peacock feather fan. So we don't have any personal utility for own gratification in that, and we can persistently use it in Krishna service. So these things may fall within the category of Yukta Vairagya. For us, at our level, nothing falls within the category of spontaneous devotional service. Certain objects may fall within the category of Yukta Vairagya. Certain objects may fall within the category of dovetailing. But certain objects may be dangerous. Even though we may have a desire of utilizing them in Krishna's service, but we may all have a danger of constantly utilizing them for our own sense gratification also, which may be dangerous for our Krishna consciousness. So in this way, he says that what is avoiding atyahara? Because first he has defined what is atyahara. Atyahara does not just mean overeating, but it means overindulgence of one's senses in sense objects. So overindulgence of senses in sense objects actually means to engage them in a way that is not fit for Krishna consciousness and engaging them for our own gratification. Like that. So therefore, he says that kind of engagement that is recommended is actually Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means you utilize those objects which you are not very much attached to, and as much as possible utilize whenever it is utilized, it must be utilized only for the pleasure of Krishna, only in the service of Krishna. So this is at avoiding atyahara. To avoid atyahara means to actually try to follow the principle of Yukta Vairagya. And if something does not fall within the category of Yukta Vairagya, then we don't have to necessarily use it in Krishna consciousness. Okay. It's not that object has no utility in Krishna's service, but I may not be the right person to utilize it in Krishna's service. To understand that and not utilize it, and utilize only those objects which we can comfortably utilize only in Krishna's service, that is Yukta Vairagya. And to engage in Yukta Vairagya is the ultimate meaning of actually avoiding atyahara. Okay. So I will cover one more slide and then we will open up for some discussion points. Okay. So he says, prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubi parityago vairagyam falgu katyate. So what is this falgu vairagya or useless vairagya? What is useless vairagya? He says, parityaga, if one starts rejecting hari sambandhi vastunaha, things which are actually related to Krishna consciousness, things which are actually related to Krishna, which can be potentially utilized in Krishna's service, but mumukshubihi, a person who is desiring liberation, prapanchikataya buddhya, thinking that it is just a material thing which will bind me to this material world, thinking in this way, if he rejects it. Okay. So this is falgu vairagya or useless vairagya, because at one end is if you think that everything in the material world is fit to be utilized in Krishna's service, so I won't even see whether I am fit to utilize it in Krishna's service or not. I will try to utilize everything in Krishna's service, which means we will fall down actually. At the other end of the spectrum are the jnanis who think that any object means it will bind me to this material world, so I will not utilize it. This is the jnanis mentality, and this kind of vairagya is useless vairagya. On the other side is no vairagya. Okay, the person thinks everything is Krishna's energy only, everything can be utilized in Krishna's service, and in the name of utilizing it in Krishna's service, we utilize it for our own sense gratification. So these are two extremes. On one side is Shushka Vairagya, dry Vairagya, Palgu Vairagya, and on the other side is no Vairagya. That is Satyahar. It becomes Satyahar. But the golden mean is to try to practice the principle of Yukta Vairagya. That is the meaning of avoiding Atyahar. That is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining here. Okay, at this point, I will pause to see if there are any discussions, points, questions, comments. Anyone would like to share something? I see one hand here. Yes, Sachi Pranthu.
Guruji, Dandapanam. Guruji, thank you so much for explaining very nicely. Guruji, the point is sometimes how we come to know that we are qualified to use this principle of Yukta Vairagya. Because how we understand that, yes, I am qualified to use this, you know, as a Yukta Vairagya. So first is the qualification to, you know, to understand our qualification. And another is the justification. Like, we justify that, hey, I can use it for Krishna's service. And to have the actual qualification, what is the difference between that?
Well, the thing is how much I am capable of utilizing it nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. That is the qualification. Whenever it is used only for Krishna service. And if there is no service for Krishna, it is not used for my own gratification. If that is the principle, you can utilize an object that way. So then that is Yukta Vairagya. So, but if for some time you will utilize it for Krishna's service and for some time for your own gratification, then that object, yes, it can trap you. Then, so that's why it is mentioned Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe means there should be persistent utility of that object in Krishna's service. So if there is no persistence, if for some time we are utilizing it for our own gratification and some time for pleasing Krishna, then that is not Yukta Vairagya. Then that object is not fit for, for us to be used in Krishna's service. You know, it is dangerous for us.
Like, so should we give up that object because it's something like which has given attachment to that object, and now we know that we are using sometimes for Krishna service, sometimes for our own certification. So we can't give up also. So what to do about that?
Well, then we have to create fences, right? What does a drug addict do? You know, a sincere drug addict who wants to get out of drug addiction, you know, sometimes they tie their hands and feet in such a way that when that, you know, they cannot, escape and run away and take that drug. You know that I am attached. So therefore, we have to create those protective fences which may titillate us and push us to utilize it for our sense gratification, which means surround us, create protective fences, whatever way we can protect, either through the association of devotees or in such a way that we may not misuse it. Like, say, for example, you know, we may have a potential of misusing the internet, let's say. But at the same time, I can utilize it in Krishna's service also. So we can create, safety systems by which, you know, that opportunity for misusing it for my own gratification is as much minimized as possible. What to do, that we have to think about, you know, these are specific cases. But if we are sincere and we know that, yes, see, this is a way I am good at it, and this is a way I can really serve Krishna, but the only thing is I have this weakness. So what do I do? So then I will ensure, when I am sober, I will ensure that I make this, protective fences around me, so that in my moments of weakness, these fences will protect me. So in that way, we can ensure that even though, I have a tremendous potential to utilize it in Krishna's service, but I am weak, So I have to create my protective fences like that.
And also, Proji, when your job is something that you are, you are having a asat sangha, and still you have to perform that duty. So how to utilize that 8 hour or whatever the hours you are spending in your job? Many people may not be associated only with the devotees. So that kind of activity, how we can link to Yukta Vairagya? Because this may be a very difficult that use that opportunity for Krishna service. So how we can, neither we can reject that because we have to maintain ourselves.
Yeah. So that's what I think, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, asat sangha means where you are eagerly hankering for that association and you are very actively having the 6 exchanges of dadati pratigrinnati guhyam atyati vruchati bhungte bhojayate cheva. When you are very eagerly and actively having these 6 exchanges, then that is sangha. But if you are just going to engage in your duties, so you go there and do the needful and come back, and not that you be a part of their social circle and you are getting, you are having these 6 exchanges and you are getting your emotional fulfillment through that association, then it's a problem. But otherwise, if you are dependent on your emotional fulfillment and your other types of fulfillment from the devotees association, you are actively having the 6 exchanges with the devotees, then even though in your workplace, you may not have devotees, it is still okay. You go there, do your job and come back. That will not bind you there. That's what you know.
And probably suppose you are expert in counseling, and someone opposite gender approach you for counseling, then we know that yes, it is not good to counsel someone who is opposite gender. Then what is the recommendation that we should guide them to go to a suitable person, or we should say
That is the best thing to do. You can guide them to go to the suitable person who can help.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share, add? Okay, there is something in the chat box. Okay, there is a question here which says, what does this word vinashyati mean? Does it mean eclipsed or consumed, or what does it really mean? Shadbir bhakir vinashyati. So vinashyati means they have a potential to destroy depending on how much we indulge in these things, right? So a fire can cause a small burn. A fire can completely burn one. A fire can completely burn a house. A fire can completely burn a city also. So the potential is there. It depends on how much we allow that fire to flare up. So, depending on how much we indulge in these 6 activities, they have actually a potential of completely destroying our devotional creeper. But it is not black and white. While the potential is there, it depends on how we indulge in them. So, it will start by clouding or eclipsing but if we are not careful and if we keep on indulging, it has a way of completely consuming our devotional service also. So vinashyati means the ultimate potential, but it's not that it will completely destroy if it is not, if one is careful. If one may succumb to these things here and there once in a while, that may not necessarily completely destroy their devotional life completely, but it has that potential. That is the nature of these activities actually. Praneshwar Ram Prabhu.
Krishna Prabhu, Dhanat Pulam.
Dhanat Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class. So I have a query here. The Atyahar is described like the main point was that overeating. So it is not discussed here so much. So I have a query about that overeating. So in Shastras it is said, and Prabhupada also said that the tongue is very dangerous to control. So like that in devotional life, after initiation, sometimes we have to eat unoffered foods like bikaji, bhujia, like that. So I have a query. I want to ask that, what are the impacts of that foods in our life? How it
affects
in our consciousness? So I heard in from some devotee that it is very dangerous from eating like eating a food offered by a karmi. So these things are I want to.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Vishayira anna kaila malina hai man, malina mana hai Krishna na hai smaran. So when we eat food that has been offered, that has been cooked and offered to you by a non-devotee, then it definitely contaminates our consciousness. And if our consciousness gets contaminated, then we will not be able to think of Krishna. And the ultimate goal of devotional life is Smartavya Satatam Vishnu or Vismartavya Naja. So always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And these are exactly activities which will make us forget Krishna. So definitely it is not very favorable.
So the fencing here is that we should only always eat Krishna Prasadam. This will be only fencing.
Which means if eating outside Buddha is a temptation that we have, then better on one Sunday, you just sit and make all the arrangements, make wholesale bhujia at home, offer it nicely to Krishna and make, small packets and put it in your bag so that every day you move out, at least one packet bhujia should be there offered for Krishna, offered to Krishna. You should have it in your bag. So whenever you get that temptation, eat that bhujia.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So there are some questions in the chat box. How about Dhruva Maharaj giving up eating gradually and Lakshman gave up sleep? Of course, these are perfected devotees. Lakshman is a perfected devotee. So he's a Nitya Siddha. He is not Nitya Siddha. He is actually Balramji. He is Ishwara Tattva. So that's a whole different thing. And Dhruva Maharaj was doing it under the guidance of Narada Muni. He was not whimsically doing. So Narada Muni was guiding him, understanding his capacity. He gave him some sadhana which he could practice. So therefore, he was not whimsically doing it. He was not eating and all that whimsically. He was doing it under guidance only. Another question in the chat box. Sometimes we are so much attached to a person and our loved ones. So how can we overcome this raga? Well, yes, we do. We may have attachment to persons. But so in that way, if we are, then we have to try our best to inspire them to take up to Krishna consciousness. And when they take up to Krishna consciousness, then automatically their association will inspire us in our Krishna consciousness also. So that is the best way. Because ultimately if we like a person, then then the best help that we can do to them, the best benefit that we can do to them is if we can inspire them to take up to Krishna consciousness. So that is the best thing to do. So if they become Krishna conscious, then it's then it is very good for us to also, associate with them. So acting at least on stage of Yukta Vairagya is required for devotees. Well, yes. In order to avoid Atyahara means to at least act on the platform of Yukta Vairagya. At least one should try. Or at least one should try to act on the platform of Yukta Vairagya. Or even the stage of dovetailing is good. We may have particular attachments, but utilize it in Krishna's service. That also is a reasonably good platform to start with, because to not have attachment, only utilize things for which we do not have attachment, may still be a difficult thing to do. But at least we can start dovetailing our attachments in Krishna's service. Dovetailable attachments can be dovetailed in Krishna's service, like that. Okay, there is one question. I have blood pressure problem because of taking medicines, and I always tend to oversleep. What should I do? Yeah, I mean, there, if you have a medical problem, then you have to give whatever sleep is needed for your body to function properly. So the definition of oversleeping there is not a universal definition. It varies from a person's medical state and other such considerations. Another question in the chat box. When a devotee cooks, offers to Lord, if devotee's consciousness is not good or not at good standard, will such wrong consciousness disappear when offered to Lord? Or will it impact the devotees who honor the prasad? Yeah, it will definitely affect the person, devotees who honor the prasad. That is why it is mentioned that the devotee who cooks the food, who offers the food, and the pujari who offers the food, their consciousness has to be very, very good, because that consciousness gets transferred to the prasadam also. So definitely, it is very important that the devotees who cook the food, their consciousness has to be very high standard. I mean, whatever best we can, you know, that does not mean, you go to temple only and eat or something like that. So whatever best is possible, but definitely the consciousness of the cook and the pujari who offers that bhoga, it will affect the food for sure. And the people and the devotees who honor it, it will affect them for sure. Okay. So if there are no further discussion points or questions, then we will continue. We have another 12 minutes time. So we will try to see how much we can complete, and then we will continue it next week. So basically here he says, if I have to summarize in two or three sentences what we have seen till now, he says that Atyahara does not just mean overeating. It means over sensory indulgence. Indulging the senses in activities, in sensory activities, which may not be very favorable for our Krishna consciousness, which may be on the, for our own gratification. So he says that, so this can be overcome if you understand and apply the principles of Yukta Vairagya. Prapanchikataya, what is Yukta Vairagya? He says that you should have detachment from those objects, and only objects which you can comfortably utilize in Krishna's service must be used, and it should be persistently utilized only in Krishna's service. So if this principle is followed, then this is Yukta Vairagya, like that. So he says the purport of these two verses is repeated in Sri Upadeshamrit by the instruction to reject Atyahara. So what does it mean to reject Atyahara? It means try to follow Yukta Vairagya and not this Falgu Vairagya. This is the essential principle of Yukta, Atyahara. Rejecting Atyahara means to follow Yukta Vairagya and not Falgu Vairagya. The purport is that if one accepts sense object in the spirit of enjoyment, that is Atyahara. So this is the definition of Atyahara. Okay. So the definition of Atyahara is that if one accepts sense objects in the spirit of enjoyment, that is Atyahara. But if the sense objects are accepted as the Lord's mercy and only asked as far as required and favorable for devotional service, then it is not atyahara, right? If sense objects are accepted as the Lord's mercy and only as far as required and favorable for devotional service, then it is not atyahara. Okay, like that. So if we overeat or overindulge, then it is atyahara. If sense objects are honestly accepted as the Lord's mercy, then yukta vairagya is easily attained. If sense objects are honestly accepted as Lord's mercy, like we sing, right? The prasadam prayers. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Sulpa Punya Vatam Rajan Vishwasone Vajayate. First thing is to see the prasada, understanding the glory of the prasada. Prasada is so glorious that Swalpa Punyavatam, for those who lack the proper Sukriti and faith, Vishwasone Vajayate, they cannot understand the real potency of prasad, Mahaprasad. Sharira Avidyajal, this body is a net of ignorance. Jadendriya Tahekal, and which are made of this Jada Indriya, or dead senses. Jihva Fele Vishay Sagore, Jive Fele Vishay Sagore, and these senses actually push the living entity to drown in this ocean of material existence. Taramadye Jihva Ati Lobomai Sudarmati. Amongst all these senses, the tongue is ati lobomai. It is most greedy. And sudurmati, it is very adamant. It will want what it wants. Ati lobomai sudurmati. Take jeta katina samsare. And to gain victory over this tongue is very difficult in this material world. Take jeta katina samsara. But Krishna bado doyamai. But Krishna is very, very merciful. Koribare jihwa jai. He can help you conquer the urge of the tongue. So prasadanna dilobai. By giving his own prasadam. So prasadanna dilobai. Se anna mritapav Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gunagav. And accepting that food offered to the Lord, food which has been eaten by the Lord as mercy of Krishna, you sing the glory of Krishna, thank Krishna for giving his own remnants for us as a means for attaining his lotus feet. So in that mood, when we honor, so that is why we say we are honoring the prasadam. Honoring means what? Honor means understanding that this remnants of the Supreme Lord is a mercy that is offered to me. So by honestly, if sense objects are honestly accepted as the Lord's mercy, then yukta vairagya to follow is very easy. So, which means practically we have to spend a lot of time in preparing our consciousness for doing any Krishna conscious activity. We have to be conscious of Krishna. Then that is a Krishna conscious activity. So, what is a Krishna conscious activity? When in performing an activity, the consciousness is prepared for serving Krishna. Then that is Krishna conscious activity. So he says, Shriman Mahaprabhu's order is to accept sense objects without attachment and chant Krishna's name. So whatever comes of its own accord, accept it and chant Krishna's name. Don't endeavor for palatable foodstuffs and fine clothes. Balana kaibe ara balana peribe. Like that. Accept the sanctified Bhagavat Prasad that is easily obtainable. Accept sanctified Bhagavat Prasad that is easily attainable. Okay. So that is the point. But of course, this, the application of these principles, we'll see. If one is, you know, is struggling to avoid non-prasadam, if one is struggling to avoid non-prasadam, then the higher principles he should not try to follow. The basic principle is he should somehow or other cook very palatable foodstuffs, offer it to Krishna and eat. Okay. Because if that does not happen, if he may eat very austere prasadam and very opulent, and he may end up eating very opulent non-prasadam because he has the deep desire to eat opulent food. So then he should start by offering opulent food to Krishna and eat that opulent prasadam rather than eating opulent non-prasadam. So the higher principles he should not apply. Don't apply the higher principles. Start applying the lower principles. Only prasadam. So then slowly, slowly, once he is very fixed in eating only prasadam, then slowly one can start. So Prabhupada also, in the early days when he was in the United States, his initial instruction to the devotees was, you can eat as much as you want till your neck. Eat prasadam as much as you want till your neck. But then after some time when they got fixed up, Prabhupada said, don't overeat. Someone asked, Prabhupada, initially you said, eat as much as you want. Stuff yourself with Krishna prasadam, but now you don't overeat. Why this contradiction of instruction? So Prabhupada said, when I asked you to eat till your neck, you never asked why I was asking. But now when I am telling don't overeat, why you are asking me? You should have asked me at that time also. So he said, in the initial days when you are so much addicted to eating non-prasadam, the immediate agenda is to stop eating non-prasadam. For that you have to as much as possible eat palatable, very delicious foodstuffs which is offered to the Supreme Lord. But once you are fixed in that, then you should slowly start curtailing the atyahara principle, the atyahara, like that. This is the devotee's lifestyle. Whatever is required, take only that. Taking more or less will not yield auspicious results. If the practitioner takes or accumulates more than necessary, his spiritual life will be lost due to his being controlled by material mellows. So if he takes more than he wants, then it increases his greed. If he takes less, then his hankering to take also increases. So that way, he should take whatever is necessary to remain unagitated and continue. Okay, any final comments before we wind up for the day? We will continue this discussion next week. But if there are any final comments, we can take maybe one discussion point and then we will have to wind up for the day. It's already 9 o'clock. Anything anyone would like to share, add? Yes, Sachi Prantu.
Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisance. Prabhuji, point is, sometimes I have seen in ashrams of many places, in temple also, the prasadam is prepared so heavy. Although it is offered to Krishna, but it is not healthy for a person to eat. So in that case, the ahar is not shuddha, so how will you practice Krishna consciousness properly if it is not fit for him? Although it is offered prasad, he has to respect that it is a mercy of Krishna.
Then It is the individual responsibility of that person to take it in a small quantity so that it does not affect his health.
Okay.
So I have seen in the ashrams that along with very heavy prasadam, there are some simple prasadam is also made. But just that the self-discipline is not there so much for avoiding the simple prasadam, for avoiding the heavy prasadam and eating simple prasadam. So that's where the problem comes. So if the individual has to take that responsibility, because institutionally there may be some, you have to cater to so many different varieties of people. So the individual should take that responsibility to curtail it.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So there is one last question in the chat box. I will take that and then we will end. What about food offered by Ritviks? Well, if the Ritviks are, they are so offensive towards the devotees, then their consciousness is highly polluted. So with that polluted consciousness, if they offer food, then that will also be polluted. Okay, so thank you very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Wednesday. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Pad ki jai, Shri Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.